Praise the Lord. God bless you, brethren. I want to welcome you once again here on this Palm Sunday. It is the beginning of the Passover, which is a several day, in fact, week long festival or feast that goes along with the Jewish tradition and the commands of God throughout the Scripture. We're going to see today that the Passover was not a good time or representation for the Lord Jesus Christ in any instance that we see in the Scripture. The Passover was instituted, as we've been learning in Sunday school, I'd encourage you to come, was instituted by the Lord when He brought about the destruction of the Egyptians who had placed the Israelites in bondage. He had caused them, the Egyptians, to go through 10 plagues, the last of which was the plague of the death all of their firstborn. God had told the Israelites through Moses to sacrifice a lamb, to take the blood of that lamb and to place it upon the lintel, upon the doorposts of their homes. And when death came upon Egypt, it would pass over the Israelites. He told them to clean out all of the leaven out of their home, to eat no leavened bread, but the unleavened bread. He told them to be ready to escape, to have their clothes and their shoes and their staff. And He provided for the Israelites the way of escape from death. We know, according to 1 Corinthians 5, that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. Amen. Throughout Scripture, when you see the lamb, understand that many times it is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ is the one who paid the penalty to save us from eternal death, from an eternity separated from God in hell, and paid for us to have eternal life. An eternity that began the day you got saved and will not culminate itself until we find ourselves in the presence of God forever in heaven and on the new earth and the new heaven. But when we look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the stark understanding and misunderstanding of who Jesus Christ is during the Passover. We'll see that in several passages today. Brethren, many people are going to celebrate Passover, Easter, and in doing so, they are going to misinterpret why Jesus Christ came, who Jesus Christ is. And we as His children, as we come upon this, what many call a holy week, there's a great danger that we misunderstand Jesus Christ ourselves. And so may God help us to understand who Jesus is, what He came to do, and what He will do. And be reminded of who Jesus Christ is. Pray for me this morning as we seek to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's pray together. Father, we ask this morning that You would please fill us, guide us. And I pray that not only from our lips, but in our very hearts, in our minds, in our soul, and in our strength, we would lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. I beg You this morning to guide us through Your Word as we look at the Lamb of God your son whom you gave to be the sacrifice. And please, Father, do these things and help us now. We pray in the Lord Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
Amen. Take your Bibles first and turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the fall of man. God had made Adam and Eve, and He made them in the image of God. After He had made Adam and Eve, He declared that it was very good what He had made. At some point after that, Adam and Eve sinned. They ate of the fruit of the garden that was of the tree that was in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Sin entered into the world on that day. God declared on that very day that the seed of the woman was going to crush the head of the serpent, the devil. He declared on that day that there would be a sacrifice that would lead to the salvation of many. Jesus Christ is that sacrifice. Jesus Christ is the one who crushed the head of the serpent. Jesus Christ is the one who sacrificed Himself so that we might be saved from the penalty of our sin. God Himself made sacrifice of animals that day to provide for the clothes that Adam and Eve would wear. In chapter 4, we see the sacrifice of Cain and Abel. Cain's sacrifice of the fruit of the ground. Abel's sacrifice of the firstlings of his flock, a lamb. The sacrificial lamb was something that was sacrificed from Adam and Eve right through to Abraham. We're going to see this in this passage in Genesis chapter 22. But Abraham, when he was called on to make sacrifice of his son Isaac, came to the mountain and did not bring a sacrifice. And Isaac spoke to his father, wondering where the sacrifice would be. But I want you to notice in chapter 22 in verse 7, start there in verse 6. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, Son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. I want you to notice first off that Isaac fully expected that there would be a lamb to sacrifice. At this point in the history of the world, there were all types of sacrifices. There were sacrifices of many different types of animals. And at this point, people were sacrificing humans to their polytheistic gods. The true God of heaven, who never intended for Isaac to die, called upon Abraham to do so as a test. Abraham brought Isaac to the mountain with the wood and the fire. But it's interesting how Isaac said that there would be a lamb. The truth is that from the very beginnings, even with the first sacrifice that God had made of those two animals, continuing in through with Cain and Abel, there was this understanding that a lamb, the firstlings of the flock, a lamb without blemish, a lamb that was perfect in the eyes of those who were making sacrifice. It wasn't a lamb that was lame. It wasn't a lamb that was spotted. It was a perfect lamb without reproach. Isaac understood that and he expected that there would be a lamb that would be sacrificed. All of these lambs were a picture of what was to come in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That day, no lamb was sacrificed. It was a ram that was caught in a thicket that was sacrificed. But I know that Abraham did not lie to his son. Abraham did not know what was going to happen. And many times we lie because we're ignorant. How many of you ever told a lie of ignorance? Because you said you were going to do something, but you never were able to do it because you didn't know it was going to happen. Abraham said, "Son, God will provide himself a lamb." Abraham was not telling a lie. He was not one to do so. That same day, it wasn't a lamb that was sacrificed. It was a ram. But Abraham still was not telling a lie. God was going to provide himself a lamb. He was going to take on a body. He was going to come to the earth. He was going to sacrifice himself to take away my sin and to take away yours. This is what Jesus Christ did. There is no other religion in the world where the God of that religion is both merciful and just. Because every other god declares that heaven is won by their works. When you live according to a works-based God who does not exist, by the way, that God can be merciful or he can be just, but he cannot be both. Jesus Christ, in sacrificing himself, showed that he is both just by taking our sin upon himself and merciful by making the way for us to be saved from the penalty of our sin. Jesus Christ is the only God who is truly God. Everyone else is made up. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And this sacrifice of the Lamb is of the utmost seriousness. Because when we speak of the Lamb, we are speaking of the one who saves us, not just from death, but eternal death. And turn over to Exodus chapter 12. We'll look into this Passover lamb for just a moment. Starting in verse 3. "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of the month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him take of his neighbor next to, unto him, unto his house, take it according to the number of the souls. Every man, according to his eating, shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish." Jesus Christ was without blemish. Jesus Christ never sinned, not once. He was perfect. He always did the will of his Father. He never sinned. Jesus Christ is without sin and he could not sin. "A male of the first year, you should take it from out amongst the sheep and from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night, roasted with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden as with water, but roast it with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof, and ye shall take, let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." Now listen. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, now this is God, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. This blood of that blemishless lamb is a picture of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Jews worship God with an ignorance, and it's a willful ignorance, but they worship God who did this, and yet Jesus Christ so perfectly shows Himself to be the Lamb who sacrificed Himself, that when God sees the blood of His Son, the Lamb of God, He will pass over those who have believed on His name. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." Jesus Christ died once for all. We are to remember who He is and what He has done. Jesus Christ does not die more than once. There are those who believe that every day Jesus sacrifices Himself anew. Hebrews tells us that Jesus Christ will only sacrifice and has only sacrificed Himself once. There is no more sacrifice for sins, but we are to remember Him. Brethren, the Jews in the days of Jesus were to remember by memorial this Passover lamb. This was to be a memorial for all generations, and Jesus came, and they were to remember, this is what the Passover is all about. We'll see in a moment that the Jews missed it. They didn't know. They didn't understand. In Isaiah 53, verses 6 and 7, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man unto his own way. And the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He openeth not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shears is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth." Isaiah 53 is about the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. This is Jesus Christ. And God gives this picture of the Lamb throughout the Old Testament, and it was given so that those who saw Jesus would know this is the one who came to save us from our sin. He came to save me from the penalty of my sin. But they missed it. They didn't understand. As we move into the New Testament, the first time we see the Passover is when Jesus goes with His family. His family went to the Passover. They went to Jerusalem every year. When He was 12 years old, we have an accounting of Jesus and His family. They went and partook of the Passover in Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph left, and for a day Jesus wasn't found. After a day they said to themselves, "Where is He?" They weren't neglectful as we might think they were. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of people along the road, family members that were along, and they weren't neglectful, but they were ignorant of who Jesus was. You know, the Passover in the New Testament is a reminder of how foolish we as human beings are. How we have notions about who God is and how far off we are. Brethren, God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We have to let Him say what is true, not the other way around. You know, we see Mary, and so many think of her as some person who never sinned, but she didn't understand. She came back and almost with a huff and a puff spoke to Jesus and said, "How could you do this?" Jesus was in the midst of the temple asking questions and answering them and astounding the religious leaders with his answers at 12 years old. Jesus answered his mother and his father, "Didn't you know I had to be about my Father's business?" Even they didn't understand. But we see several accountings of Jesus Christ in the Passover. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, we are just several days before the Passover. The beginning declares who Jesus Christ is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. It goes on to speak about John. There is one sent from God whose name was John. He was the one who came to declare that Jesus Christ is the light. He came and He baptized many. He did the work that Isaiah told us He would do. He would level the mountains and He would lift the valleys and He would prepare the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not that Word. He was not that light, but He declared that light. One of the most important verses in all the Scripture in verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld Him as His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And so here is John, and he is declaring the truth about Jesus. And just a few days before the Passover, Jesus comes. In verse 29, "In the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, John had spoken many things. He had declared that he was the one who wasn't worthy to unloose or to tie the shoes of Jesus, "whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." He had spoken many things, but God chooses to highlight this because these were the most important words of John's ministry. "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." You can almost picture it in your mind on the Jordan. Place yourself there. John had been baptizing. He had been declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of heaven was at hand, and it was all about Jesus. And then Jesus came. And you can see Him pointing with His hand. "Behold, the Lamb of God, the one whom I said is come to baptize us with the Spirit. This is the one, the Lamb of God." And immediately the Jews would have thought to the Old Testament lambs. The Passover lamb. You see, just a few days before the Passover, all of these people on the Jordan were about to take a pilgrimage from that place to Jerusalem. They were going to leave the Jordan and walk to Jerusalem. Because in Jerusalem, they were going to kill the Passover lamb. Just like Jesus' family did every year. A whole host of people. The very people that heard John the Baptist say, "Behold the Lamb of God." They were going to go. Verse 30. "This is He of whom I said, after me cometh a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. By the way, who was born first in the world? John the Baptist. That's interesting, isn't it? Who was conceived first? John the Baptist. Who came first? Jesus. Jesus has always been and He always will be. Look there in verse 36. Again, and looking upon Jesus as He walked, He saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. And this should have brought to the minds of the people who Jesus was. He is the Lamb of God. He is the Passover Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus had begun His ministry. He had been baptized. He had begun His ministry. And just a few days after this account, we see Jesus in Jerusalem during the Passover. In verse 12, after this, He went down from Capernaum, He and His mother and His brethren and His disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, the changers of money, sitting. Again, the Passover had been made into something that was a money-making scheme. Like so many of our own holidays, it's really about the money. It had become for people a time not to remember death and eternal death, not to remember the sacrifice of God. It had become something that led to the people to completely misunderstand who Jesus was. By the way, understand this. When our days, whether today or any other day, become less than Jesus, we are going to miss some things. We are going to miss out on what Jesus truly came to do. These people had made the Passover a time that was designed to be for the worship of God, had made it into something that it was never intended to be. Jesus comes in. Into Israel, into Capernaum, and into this Passover time. And look, notice what it says. Starting there in verse 23. Now, when He was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles that He did. Now, what did many of these same people who believed on His name hear John the Baptist say just several days before this? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Why did they believe on Jesus? Because He saw them perform some miracles. You see, they should have believed on Jesus as the one who came to take away their sin. They believed on Jesus rather because of His miracles. And you say, well, what's the big deal? The only big deal is what Jesus thought. Notice what it says. Verse 23, now when He was in Jerusalem in the Passover and the feast day, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. But Jesus did not commit Himself unto them because He knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. He was saying, listen, I know man, and I know their belief is nothing more than a shallow belief in My miracles. On this Passover day, 2 or 3 years before the Passover that we're thinking about now, people didn't understand Jesus, did they? They didn't understand Him. This first Passover of Jesus' ministry. Turn to John 6. Jesus had fed 5,000 people. He had performed many miracles. Notice what it says. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is in the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. Again, why are they following him? Because of his miracles. Why should they have followed him? Because he's the one who was to die for their sins, the Lamb of God. And Jesus went up to the mountain, and there sat his disciples, and the Passover, the feast of the Jews, here we come, a year later, the Passover, the Jews was nigh. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread? And so he goes, and of course Philip doesn't know what Jesus is going to do. He talks about how much it would cost to feed everybody. He breaks bread, he takes the fish, he blesses them, and he feeds 5,000 people. Verse 13, now when they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments and the 5 barley loaves which remained above them to be eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet should come into the world. They say, this guy makes bread out of nothing. And so they literally follow him across the sea. Jesus walks on the ocean, upon the sea, to get to the other side and into the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And when he gets there, he finds that people had followed him there. Jesus begins to teach about himself being the bread of life. He teaches about his flesh and his blood. And verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Again, all during this Passover time. When Jesus knew in himself that the disciples murmured at it, he said, do this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of God ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I say unto you, that no man can come unto me except it be given unto me of my Father. Listen, verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. During the Passover, the Lamb of God, the one whom we should follow, he teaches something hard. And what do the people do? They leave. The only ones left are the 12 during this Passover. Now, it's amazing what they wanted to do, but couldn't do. You see, if you go back into after he had made all these things, he left for one reason. They wanted to make him king. What did they believe about Jesus? They believe he came to be king. But that's not why he came this first time, is it? What did he come for? Remember just a few days before that first Passover. Just remember what he said about the Passover when he was 12. He came to be about his Father's business. His Father's business was that he would sacrifice himself for our sin. Which brings us to the final Passover of his life here on this earth. In John chapter 12. Jesus again had performed incredible miracles. The one that was impressed upon these people's minds was that his friend Lazarus had died. And after Lazarus was in his tomb for 4 days and began to stink, Jesus called him out of the tomb. He was alive again. They couldn't believe it. Jesus was making his way to Jerusalem. What was coming in Jerusalem? The Passover. You see, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world was coming on the Passover. Because he was going to die just like those lambs, those thousands of lambs throughout the history from Exodus up till now. He was going to give his life. Notice there in verse 12. On the next day, much people were come to the feast. When they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And we may say, you see, these people are worshiping Jesus. They're lying. They are not worshiping Jesus. They're worshiping a figment of what they believe Jesus should be. But Jesus did not come to raise Himself as a king, to destroy the Roman Empire, and to retake Jerusalem for God. He came to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Should those people who were crying out, Hosanna, have known this? They should have. But they didn't. And they prove it. They cry out, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel. Well, we know what happens. He enters into Jerusalem. In chapter 18. Look there in verse 38. Pilate saying to him, what is the truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But you have a custom that I should release unto you the Passover. Will you therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Why do you think Pilate called them the King of the Jews? Well, just several days before, they were crying out with their palm branches, the King, the King. Now he'd been arrested. He was going to be beaten. He was going to bleed. He was going to have the religious leaders beat him with their fists. He was going to be spit upon. He was going to have a crown of thorns placed upon his head. He was going to be presented to the people. And they didn't cry out King anymore, did they? The same people who just a few days before were crying out, Hosanna in the highest, behold the King, cried out something very different, didn't they? In verse 6, when the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him. For I find no fault in him. Brethren, people misunderstand who Jesus is. The message of the Passover is a stark reality of who we are. I want you to listen very carefully for the next few moments, please. We can live out our days thinking of Jesus in a completely wrong way. We can think that Jesus is our Santa Claus who's come to give us every whim of our mind. Many people believe that. We can believe that Jesus Christ is such a humble person that we are greater than he is, that he's supposed to serve us and not the other way around. But what we should remember is that he's the Lamb of God. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7 and 8, the Scripture says, Purge out therefore the old leaven, speaking to Christians, that you may be a new lump as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. When we think about Christ the right way, we live sincerely in this world. We live not with a mockery of Christ by giving a front, a facade, but we live in actuality and in truth for the Lord Jesus Christ. Even as mom and dad were living out somewhat of a facade that first Passover, the disciples who were following him and saw him perform many miracles, they said, we believe him because of his miracles, but they had forgotten that he was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. They lived in a facade. That next Passover, he had fed 5,000. He had crossed the water on, he had walked across the Sea of Galilee with his feet, got to the other side. He had given hard teaching and they all left. Except the 12, they had believed in Jesus wrongly. They had worshipped him in a facade. And on that Passover, when he entered into Jerusalem on the colt of an ass, they cried out on one day, "Hosanna, behold the King." And yet, just a few days later, cried out for his crucifixion. Brethren, each one of us are in danger of thinking of Jesus wrongly and worshiping as a facade. In fact, I think if any of us and all of us were honest, we'd say, you know what, there are times that I don't think much of Jesus. And it's all a facade. It's all a front. Brethren, Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He gave Himself for you. He gave Himself for me. May we not worship Him that way anymore. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.